I appreciate the privilege of standing before you today. I've had this problem the last couple of weeks. My wife has caught a cold. She caught it. And it's been chasing me as well. And it finally caught me the other day. So I would apologize now for when it's time to cough, sneeze, blow my nose, or anything else that would disrupt. And I pray that it won't disrupt the Holy Spirit touching your heart, because the Lord's good. Give me the strength and the voice to be able to give His message today. How many of you have parents? You have parents? I have parents. Some of our parents have died. Some are still living. We all have parents, right? So we're a child of our parents. Some of us, when we're young and older, our parents decided things were not working out with each other, and they decided to get a divorce. That's what happened to me when I was about a year and a half, 2 years old. My parents decided that it wasn't working with them, and my dad left. I thank the Lord for my grandfather, who taught me a lot of things that my mother didn't know how to teach me. I've talked to the Lord a lot about that, because I've had to settle in my own mind their decisions, that I accepted their decision to do what they thought was right at the time. I don't know how many are struggling with that right now. Some of us have had the privilege of having both parents live at the house and be godly parents, truly representing Christ to you as you were raised, praying with you, counseling with you, trying to help you to walk the right way with God, the path. Some of us have not followed the counsel of our parents and have gone off and doing their own thing. They think they're doing their own thing, but actually it's not. It's the way of the devil. I have played with that myself. I thought I was a very good fence sitter for many years, even though I was raised in a Christian home. My own mother did her best. But I didn't see the need. But as I started studying my Bible, of course with the spirit of prophecy, I didn't find a fence. Where's the fence that I'm sitting on? And I found out there's no fence. The closest thing to a fence is Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. And if you read through there, the person sitting on that fence, it's not a fence. It's lukewarm. Because God says, I wish you were hot or cold. That's what God wants. So I decided after all these years I wasn't really sitting on the fence after all. I was really playing in Satan's ground, thinking I was okay. Some of us were raised with both parents at home, but it definitely was not a godly home. There was physical abuse, mental abuse, sometimes sexual abuse. And you look at your parents and don't see the love of a parent to the child as we should. And some of us are dealing with that even today. We haven't been able to give it to the Lord. Sometimes to go through these and giving up these situations that we grew up with, sometimes we need a good Christian counselor. Some people use the expression, I need to talk to somebody that has skin on. You know, talking back and forth. Me sharing my experience, you sharing yours with each other. Sometimes we find out that Oh, I didn't know you went through that. That's what I've gone through too. And, you know, what has worked for you? What is, you know? And I know there are counselors out there that definitely aren't Christian. They won't lead you to the Lord. But I believe that God does have a few counselors that have skin on that can help in any of the situations. I start out that way because I think some of us have a problem. We're told, let's turn to John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not us, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The first part of verse 1 is the main that caught my eye for this study. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. When we think about our childhood being raised by our physical father, some of us were not raised by our physical father, we don't relate as well to our loving Heavenly Father as those of us who were raised with a good, godly, God-fearing Father at home. I think it's a little easier for those who were raised with a godly example at home than those of us who were not raised that way. So when we talk about a loving Heavenly Father, God loves me as a father loves a child. What does that mean? Some of us, we really don't. If God loved me like my dad did, he beat me. He told me I was no good for nothing. I will never amount to anything. Does that sound like a loving, heavenly, loving Father on earth that we can relate to our loving Heavenly Father? It doesn't to me. So it's difficult, I believe, for some of us to understand how the God of heaven can love us so much, being our Father. And then in the middle of verse 3 it says, "And that we should be called the sons of God." Do we know what that means? To be called a son and daughter of God? There's a devotional book that came out, printed by Review and Herald, I believe, back in the mid-80s, called Sons and Daughters of God. Very good devotional book. You have that or can get a hold of it. What is a son and daughter of God? How do we become a son and daughter of God? And what are the characteristics of a son and daughter of God? And in being a son and daughter of God, would it give us the ability, the help, to live the life, the sanctified life that God has called us to live? I think that's some of the questions that I pray that we can answer as we go through this study today. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah gave a lot of prophecy, and this is one of the prophecies. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. The whole chapter of Isaiah 11 is a prophecy on Jesus and what he is, what he came to do for us, and what he's doing for us. And Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10 tells us, "And in that day there shall be a root out of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall be, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and rest shall be, his rest shall be glorious. So the Gentiles will seek Jesus, and it will be a comfort to them, a joyous rest, a glorious rest. Who's a Gentile? I'm a Gentile, or I was. Why? We read back in Genesis, God called Abraham and says, Abraham, I'm going to have a seed raised up through your, through you to be my people. It was awful hard for God to do that, because many of the people didn't really want to be his seed. Some did, many did not. But God kept working little by little as we read through the Bible. In fact, when Christ was here on this earth, the priest and the ruler said, we are Abraham's seed. That was, you know, we have lineage. We can look right down the line and we can prove we come from our father Abraham. Can you do that? I can't. Look, we ever tried to go through a genealogy, I believe it's called, looking back through your history, can we trace ourselves all the way back to Abraham? To be a literal Israel by bloodline? Can we do that? So we're Gentiles, aren't we? How do we come to Christ? How do we become sons and daughters of God? Being Gentiles? Jesus came that we may have that privilege. But he also came that those under the bloodline of literal Israel can be saved too. Because just being a on the bloodline of Abraham, I don't see anything, and I read my Bible, that they're saved because they are under the bloodline of Abraham. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 is one of those most, not most, but it is a very misunderstood chapter to a lot of people. Acts chapter 10. Peter is staying at a man's house. Day is going by, and pretty soon it's going to be time to eat. So Peter says, while the food is being prepared, I think I'll go up and spend some time with the Lord. I think it's a good thing to do, isn't it? Go every once in a while and just stop and say, you know, I really need to spend some time with the Lord. And just stop in the middle of the day and just do that. I know some days it's just hard to do that, but sometimes we can just spend a few moments or turn our thoughts toward God and his love for us. Heavenly things is a blessing. So Peter does that. He goes up on the rooftop. While he's spending his time with the Lord brings a sheet down and says, Peter, this is good stuff. Peter says, no, never touch it. It happened several times, and Peter says, no, never touch it. God is saying, this is good. God, no, this is not good. Even your word says it's not good. So does that tell us that we can eat whatever we want? Because it had all kinds of creeping, crawling things in his sheet as you read through this chapter. Is that what this chapter is telling us? No. It's not what it's telling us at all. And Peter understands what God is trying to get to as we go through this chapter. Let's get down to Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. This is where Peter has followed God's direction and gone to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. And Peter's talking to Cornelius and those at his house, and verse 34 says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.' The word of God, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." So Peter understood that through this vision that he had, it wasn't okay to eat all these creepy, crawly things that God forbade him back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that we can read. No. Peter understood from his vision that God has people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Gentile or Jew or American, Mexican, whatever country, whatever tongue you speak, the gospel is open to us that we each may have salvation. Paul clarifies this point even more in Romans chapter 9. If there's any question on more verses that would go along with what we're talking about here, Romans chapters 8 and 9 are full of verses that talk about what we're talking about this morning. Romans chapter 9, verse 24. "Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." So Paul understood this, that the gospel is open to all of us, not just because we are Jews or from the line of Israel, but to all of us. We can all become sons and daughters of God. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, a little ways over in your Bible. After Galatians chapter 3. Now, read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul's talking here and says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So Paul is talking to the Ephesians that were the Ephesians, were they of the line of Israel? They weren't, huh? They had their own gods that they worshipped, their false gods. But there were a few that listened to the gospel and could believe, and Paul is telling them and encouraging him that even the Gentiles are fellow heirs through Christ. We can be. And of the same body. Okay, Gentiles sit over here, Jews sit over here on this side. There's a separation, and ne'er the two shall meet. No, of the same body, together, fellowshipping, edifying, encouraging, and strengthening each other. Partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's what brings us together. Not checking our bloodline. Go back to a book in the Bible, to Galatians, chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Galatians 4, verses 5 through 7. It says, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Oh, there's a lot of meat in these couple verses. How do we become sons and daughters of God? adoption. I don't know how many are listening today that are adopted. Maybe some are. As I understand the adoption process, as my wife and I looked into it years ago and decided that really wasn't for us, but there's a lot of paperwork you have to fill out. The people who are, the adoption agencies, then they ask you a bunch of questions, they check your finances, they check your credibility, would these people be a good parent to whatever child they would adopt?
Check to make sure you're not a Christian.
Some of them do that. Yeah, some of them don't want to have godly parents for the child that they are in charge of giving to the parents. But there are Christian adoption who are looking for Christians to adopt children. So it's, as you go through that process and you think about it, being adopted, in my mind, is actually even more precious than, is it? Having your own child? Because all of what you went through, having your own child, it's very special too. I don't know if it is. Sometimes in my mind I think it's more special, and sometimes I don't think it is. I don't know. I guess it depends on what my thoughts are through the day, what's been going on. But being adopted is a very special thing, I believe, especially adopted into the God family. That's for sure. There's no question about it. And we're adopted through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our elder brother. Well, we read in Fundamentals of Christian Education, page 142. Fundamentals of Christian Education, 142 says, He left the royal courts. He's talking about Christ. He left the royal courts and clothed His divinity with humanity, that by His own example He might teach us how we may be exalted to the position of sons and daughters in the royal family, children of the heavenly King. Now, is that a family to be adopted into? I do. I want to be adopted into our royal family. Excuse me as I blow my nose. By Christ's own example, He came to teach us how to be sons and daughters of God. He came to let us know that it is an exalted position to be a son of God and a daughter of God. The Bible usually just uses the word son, but I think it's a generic term. Thank you. Because I don't see that God only saves men, and the women come along if you're married to a saved man, and you just come along just because you're married to him. Now, there are some religions that teach that. Only the men can be saved. I don't see if my Bible teaches that at all. No. Patriarchs and prophets, even though it's not right after what I read in Fundamentals of Christian Education, when I found this one, I thought, this is a good, my answer to what God has done to us by exalting us in the positions of sons and daughters of a royal family, children of the heavenly King. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 289, tells us what compassion, what matchless love God has shown us to us. Lost sinners in connecting us with Himself. To Him a peculiar treasure. What a sacrifice has been made by our Redeemer, that we may be called children of God, We should praise God for the blessed hope held out before us in the great plan of salvation. As you find yourself, I find myself, doing those things I should not do, walking my own way, and I understand what Christ has done for me, and I say, Lord, I've blown it. Of course, the devil says, yep, you've blown it, and there's no hope. I say, yes, there is. Jesus died for you. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose again, and He lives for us now. He lives for me now. Saying, Jesus, God, Father, I died for Gary. I died for Brother Israel, Brother Heathcliff, Marilyn, Elaine, Gordon. He died for each of us who are listening. He died for the whole, all of us in this whole world if we accept. His death is accounted for us. Do we say thank you? Do we ever say, God, thank you. I really appreciate that. Sometimes some of us have a hard time saying thank you anyway, don't we? Especially to God. Sanctified life. Page 17. To man is granted the privilege of becoming an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Like I said, Christ our elder brother. Through Him, we can be an heir of God. To those who have been thus exalted are unfolded the unsearchable riches of Christ, which are of a thousand fold more value than the wealth of the world. Thus, through the merits of Jesus Christ, finite man is elevated to fellowship with God, with His dear Son. Many of us, many people are out looking for the wealth of the world, doing anything they can, denying the power of God, leaving God behind to go follow their goal. Wife and I have a privilege of living up in the mountains. Around those mountains, there's a history of, and there are still gold mines. There's lots of gold in them, there are hills, the expression goes. There's lots of gold around our area. And the mountains have changed tremendously just up the road from us because they did strip mining, which is using a big fire-type hose and washing down the mountain, and pretty soon it gets wet and it starts flowing down the stream, becomes a creek, and then there's guys down there with their sluice boxes sorting through this and finding the gold. Gold was first discovered in California, not too far from where we live. Nugget that's bigger than I've ever seen. Just sitting in the creek bed. Man is just is giving their lives for this gold. Before the flood, we're sitting on top of the ground all over the place. Jewels and rubies and things like that, but became a gold, became a god to them, all these things. Even it is now as men search for it. But it is an important part of the world economy. And I don't believe, as I read from the Word of God, that having money is wrong. Being rich, I don't see it to be wrong if we have the right attitude with it. If it does not become a god, it becomes a god, we're in trouble. If we give it to God and say, God, this is yours, help me to be good steward of whatever you give me. Or I'm poor as a church mouse, or can have enough in my pocket to be able to support every missionary out there in the continent of Africa. Is it His, and I'm a steward? I see nothing wrong with having more than I have now. But daily, it's a responsibility. Whether you have little or you have a lot. I say, Lord, what do I do with it? I use it for selfish reasons. I use it for helping to spread the gospel. Lord, it's yours. What do you want me to do with it? And being a good steward. So our being a child of God, sons and daughter of God, is even more precious than all these gold and jewels and rubies and diamonds that people will do about anything and give their life. Steal, rob, lie, cheat. I said, no, you don't need to do that. As we understand, as we read in God's Word about being a child of God, being adopted as a Gentile into the family of God, what are our characteristics that we should strive for? What are the characteristics that we should have in our lives? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, near the end of the Bible, in verse 7. It says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Is that a good goal? We overcome, we can become a son of God. Are we a son of God if we haven't totally overcome all sin in our lives? I believe it depends on our goal. Are we striving for the mastery, as Paul talked about? Are we striving to overcome? Jim gave us some examples last night. Oh, I definitely have my struggles in the past. God has given me many victories. My brothers and sisters, Still struggling with some of my old man habits. There'll be times all of a sudden going along the duties, walking down the street, go into a store, and all of a sudden some song on the radio flashed back to something that, by God's grace, I let go of a long time ago. Is it a temptation? For a second it can be. I can dwell on it. Oh, man. Yeah, I remember. Hold on a second. No, too far. A temper, anger, an addiction. Most of us think addictions is just tobacco, alcohol, chemical drugs. You know, there's addiction of workaholics. Working too much because there's something in your life. What addiction is something in your life you don't know how to deal with. So many of us find a way of dealing with it. Well, not dealing with it. We hide it. Get out the bottle and start drinking. Ah, life is so sweet. It's gone. That situation that I don't know how to deal with is gone. Going on taking marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamine, where we live is one of the highest methamphetamine addiction counties in all of California. People are always getting arrested. Marijuana fields hiding all over our forests, they find every once in a while. Go down to the river to enjoy the beauties of nature. People are smoking many different things around us. So moving to the country isn't always get away from the world. It's everyone. Our neighbors. Because they don't know how to deal with some of those things in their life. They haven't learned that there is a God of heaven, that Jesus Christ came that they may overcome those things. They haven't learned those things. Eating is another addiction. There's people that are struggling with that. Your mind doesn't care what you're addicted on. You just spend too much time reading the Bible, learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth that we're talking about. Lots of addictions that we can have that seem to be normal our life because we don't know how to overcome. We don't know how to give it to Jesus. Give it to God. How do we overcome? God is so good. He tells us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. There's our answer. How do we overcome? As Jesus did when he was on this earth. Did he have temptation like we did? Hebrews tells us. At all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So did Jesus come with a special ability not to be tempted as we are? No. Don't let anybody convince you of that. A lot of people want to throw the book of Hebrews out. I've heard that from many people. Now, the book of Hebrews is added and it's no good and it's not written by Paul and all kinds of excuses. You know why? Have you read the book of Hebrews lately? One of the best books in the Bible. Beautiful book, the book of Hebrews. I love especially chapters 8 and 9 because it talks about what Jesus is doing for me and for you. The most holy place of heavenly sanctuary right now, using the illustration of the earthly sanctuary. Or chapter 2, 4, and 7. They're all good. Read the book of Hebrews for your worship for some time in the next little while if you haven't read it for a while. Wonderful book. So we may overcome as Jesus overcame. How did Jesus overcome? We're told, as we read through the Gospels, spent time with his Heavenly Father. I've never been able to spend awake all night talking to my Heavenly Father. I could spend a lot of time at night worrying. That keeps me awake. But as I start giving it to God, little by little, okay, God, I'm sorry. I'm a worrywart, real easy. I don't know if it's inherited or not, but anyway, I am. I can worry about anything. I worry about worrying about something. I can do that real easy. Sounds like a few others have that same problem. My wife, she goes to sleep, head hits the pillow. I'm talking to her, she doesn't hear much. She's gone. Me. Toss and turn and get comfortable, and all the while my mind is running faster than it's ran all day. My body is slowed down. Okay, it's time to kick in. Good and not good. Sometimes evil thoughts will come in too, and have to give it to the Lord. Well, Lord, you know I need to get up, and you know it's going to be a busy day tomorrow. Need to get my sleep. And I finish my prayer and mine takes off again. Sometimes in the middle of my prayer, my mind will take off again. Give it to the Lord. Sometimes I do that over and over and over. Because I'm not really giving it to the Lord. I want to worry. Physically, I don't want to worry about it because that's my nature. Am I going to get from here to there? Should I buy this? Is that girl good for me to be my helpmeet? Is that guy good for me to be a helpmeet, to be a good wife or a good husband? Lord, all kinds of things. that go through our minds. How do I build this thing? Where am I going to get the money to pay my bills for this month? All kinds of things run through the mind. We overcome as Jesus overcame. Daily, moment by moment, Jesus gave it to His Heavenly Father. And He overcame, and we may overcome as He did. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, of all the studies that God has helped me put together, these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 seem to come up a lot. Because there's so much in it. In verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and into 16, it talks about things how, you know, God is in charge of these things over here. Satan is over here, and is there a union between the two of God things and Satan's things? No. There's no union there. And it's talking about that. Let's start with verse 16 as we read. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of God, the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So as God is talking, as we go through this chapter about this belongs to Satan, this belongs to me, this belongs to Satan, this belongs to me. Then he clarifies as we get down to the end of the chapter why he's going through this. We pick, choose the things of God, it says, in the middle of 16, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out of from among them those evil things that God is telling us. And reading on, and be ye separate from them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. As we decide, God, forgive me. I confess my sin to you. Forgive me. And help me to forsake those things. As we do that, we come to God, 1 John 1:9. He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all our sins. It says here, and I will receive you. Verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This is a promise of God. The Bible is full of promises. We ask. He is faithful to receive us, to help us to overcome, to live the sanctified life, or the right life. Walk the path that He has called us to walk. On my own? Never. I've tried it. And I've tried it. And I've tried it. And I've tried it. Do I get it? On my own? No. Not really. Sometimes I thought I was, but when I come down to Satan says, okay, here we go. Let me try it one more time. No. I couldn't do it. I don't know anybody that has walked the right life on their own. Only through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And God is willing to be our Heavenly Father. We can be sons and daughters of God. This is a promise. Chapter 7, verse 1. Personally, I think when I put the Bible together in this chapter and verses sequence, chapter 7, verse 1, could have been bumped up just into chapter 6, because it says, having therefore these promises, what promise? We can become sons and daughters of God. Reading on, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. James chapter 2. Let's go back to James chapter 2. It's right after the book of Hebrews. James is really one of my favorite chapters because the more I read in James, I find that he covers about everything that Paul does and all of what he wrote. And James has 5 chapters. Myself, many times, what's the bottom line? Sometimes I need the explanation to get to the bottom line, but what's the bottom line? James gives us the bottom line. I like that. James chapter 2, verse 23. James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. What do you think? Well, God, I believe in God. He told all his neighbors and his family, I believe God. And then just went and did what he was going to do. What he normally would do. You believe God, believe in God. Shouldn't it have some effect on your life? I believe so. It says, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. God says, you believe me? You're doing those things? And it was righteousness was given to him through Christ, given the help to walk and do those things that God had called him to do. In the last part of verse 23, and he was called a friend of God. Our English language today has many uses for the word friend. So I decided to look in the Strong's Concordance to see what the Greek word was. And it was better than any friend thought that came to my mind when I was thinking the word friend. It's called dear to God. So, as we read this, we can read the last part of verse 23, and he was dear friend to God. He was dear to God. As Abraham saw Jesus as his Savior by faith, he became a dear friend of God. Their relationship was building. Testimonies to Ministers, page 133, tells us, but do not forget that in coming to God as a father, you acknowledge your relationship to him as a child. Not only to trust his goodness, but in all things yield to his will, knowing that his love is changeless. You give yourself to his work. I have given myself to his work. God has called me to work full time for him. Many of us, he's not called us to work full time. What has God called you to do? I believe God has called each of us to share through our influence, our words, our actions, our attitudes. We're sons and daughters of God, the heavenly king, the heirs of the kingdom, the royal family. And walking the path that he has chosen for us. Sometimes it's a heavy load. Sometimes it's a light load. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I know that text very well, but sometimes I have a hard time applying it. To be able to give it to the Lord. And I pray as we understand that we are children of God, children of the Heavenly King through Jesus, that He will help us to walk the sanctified life. And it's a step-by-step process. Like Peter's ladder in 2 Peter 2, chapter 1. It's a step-by-step process. God is willing and able to help us walk that. And by God's grace, spend eternity together. Shall we kneel for prayer? And our loving Heavenly Father, thank You for being a loving Heavenly Father. But in being a loving Heavenly Father, that You give us Your love. I don't comprehend all of it yet. I'm learning. Lord, in that love is mercy, long-suffering, but also Your just. The most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary teaches that with the ark and with the Ten Commandments inside the ark. Justice and mercy together. We thank You for that love. Thank You that we can be called a child of God. We pray as we understand this and as we accept being a child of God, Lord, that we will say, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? We thank You for this privilege of asking, and Lord, we pray that You'll guide and direct us. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.